I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the recent history of documentary filmmaking, one scene stands out above all. The hot mic bathroom confession of Robert Durst in The Jinx. Now the person responsible for that moment, Sareb Kaufman, stepson of the victim, friend of the murderer, star of the documentary, for the first time ever, shares why he believes you're watching the furthest thing from the truth on this exclusive episode of Murder Homes. Listen to Murder Homes on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, starting May 6th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
Award-winning filmmaker, writer Bart Sabrell is here. And of course, perhaps best known for A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, the documentary released in 2001, followed by Astronauts Gone Wild, investigation into the authenticity of the moon landings in 2004, and his memoir, Moon Man, the true story of a filmmaker on the CIA hit list, released in 2021. You were talking about, you know, one of the arguments people attempting to debunk the Apollo lunar landing hoaxers is that, you couldn't keep something that big a secret. That's often, you know, cited for any conspiracy. You know, the obvious example is, I think it was 136,000 people that were involved in the Manhattan Project. And I know someone whose father was involved in that. I mean, their wives didn't know. Nobody knew what they were doing. How many people were involved in the D-Day invasion? Like, just soldiers alone, it was 156,000. Never mind all of this, you know, the civilians and so forth that were involved. Obviously, the D-Day invasions, thankfully, were a complete surprise to the Germans. So, I think that the idea of being able to compartmentalize something, is true. I do want to go back to the AI. Again, the idea that they ran the lunar landing photos through, some sort of an AI program, and all the red flags went up. It said virtually everything about them was fake. Do we know, which AI program that was? Because you've probably seen this, but, Google apparently has claimed, that it wasn't their app. They can't verify which app it was, but, they say categorically that, Google's AI did not discover the footage from the moon landing was fake. Do we know who was responsible for that AI program?
Well, I mean, Google is lying right there. Why would they lie if about something unless they're trying to cover it up? It did say it. Go to Sabrell.com, scroll down about halfway. There's a detailed article about it where Google's AI neural network, a bunch of AIs hooked up, the most intelligent entity on the planet, a couple of months ago, was fed pictures from the surface of the moon, from unmanned Chinese probes. It said they're real. It was fed Apollo pictures. It said fake this, fake that, fake this. That's a fact. Why would they deny it? In fact, I have a screenshot, and I think it's a video that's linked to my YouTube channel, where they are so desperate to cover this up. The article was originally written in Russian, and it was downloaded. I copied it. And then when I went back to check it before I wrote my own article about it, the link didn't work. And then I found the original link in Russian and put it into Google Translate. And Google Translate will translate a script from the Gilligan's Island. But you put in an article about how their own smart AI said the moon missions were fake. To translate from Russian to English, it refused to translate it. And then I found the original link that, you know, preceded all of this. I click on it. A big warning comes on the screen. If you proceed, all the data on your computer will be stolen and will be associated with child pornography. That's how desperate they are to cover this up. That is what happened. We have stories to back it up, video to back it up. They can deny it all they want. Another interesting point is, why didn't RT, that's allegedly, you know, anti-American, you have Putin there being told that the landings are fake. It's nowhere to be found on RT. I had a comment in another story about AI. All of my comments are remain on RT. But when I added a comment about Google's AI, it was removed immediately. They are trying to cover up the story. Google's trying to cover it up. Because you could say the God of science is putting a man on the moon. And the Messiah of science is AI. And when the smartest AI says the pictures are fake, when it's run through its own deep fake protocol program, either Google's multi-billion-dollar, multi-year investment, it's a piece of junk and they're completely inept at Google, or the moon landings are fake. And if I can get back to the thousands of people involved, Eugene Krantz, who I've spoken to, the flight director at Apollo, said out of his own mouth, a command center employee in Houston Control can tell no difference whatsoever between a simulation and a real flight. It's just a bunch of numbers on the screen. So you only have three ex-military people going up, and no one at NASA, even in command center, know that they're receiving a simulation program, just like all the times that they rehearsed. He said that out of his own mouth. And then, has there ever been a technology in history that cost an equivalent of $200 billion that was destroyed? I mean, maybe when they blew up the first atomic bomb to end World War II, maybe they should have destroyed that, at least considered it. But only 10 years later, atomic bombs were 1,000 times more powerful. So if we could go to the moon ahead of schedule, when all of NASA had 1 millionth the computing power of a cell phone, we would have been on Mars 10 years later. We'd be in another solar system by now, and there'd be bases all over the moon. There has never been a time in history where technology was greater in the past than in the future. So the first proof, shadows intersecting, all the proof you need. Second proof, today, as you said in the introduction, with 54 years better computers and better rockets, the farthest that NASA can send astronauts into space is 1,000th the distance to the moon. That's why there's mannequins orbiting the moon. NASA said in 2014, by 2018, we will have people orbiting the moon. They were 100% behind schedule. Instead of taking 4 years, it took 8 years, and then no people, only mannequins, because of lethal radiation. My book at Sabrell.com that I read myself in audio or Kindle or print, it's interactive with 17 video links that back up everything I'm saying, including a NASA employee saying that the technology to survive radiation to the moon and back has yet to be invented. Another astronaut saying NASA deliberately destroyed the technology. I mean, imagine Bill Gates spending $200 billion to make the first AI. It works fantastic. And when he's done, he takes the hardware, all the blueprints, all the diagrams, all the software, and throws it into a furnace. Would anyone do that? But that's exactly what they did. All the original videotapes, they say out of their own mouth, they deliberately destroyed them. All of the telemetry data, where the rocket really was, they say out of their own mouth that they deliberately destroyed it. All the blueprints, all the schematics, all that, quote, wonderful, miraculous technology, they say out of their own mouth, they deliberately destroyed it. Now, if you really spent $200 billion to go to the moon, that's the last thing you would do would be to destroy it all. But if you were perpetrating a fraud, that's exactly what you would do. So you see, the fact that they destroyed everything is also evidence of the fraud.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the recent history of documentary filmmaking, one scene stands out above all. The hot mic bathroom confession of Robert Durst in The Jinx. Now the person responsible for that moment, Sareb Kaufman, stepson of the victim, friend of the murderer, star of the documentary, for the first time ever, shares why he believes you're watching the furthest thing from the truth on this exclusive episode of Murder Homes. Listen to Murder Homes on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bart Sprell, the Moon Man, true story of a filmmaker on the CIA list. Down at the top of the hour, I just want to spend a little bit of time. And when we come back, we'll get into the book, Moon Man. But I just want to go back to that. Well, at the time, it was a 31-year-old mislabeled, unedited reel of footage. You believe provides, you know, it's kind of the Lollapalooza piece of evidence. The Apollo moonwalk was a hoax. First of all, how did you uncover it? And then maybe walk us through, without the benefit of obviously, you know, images here, what that tape, that reel of footage shows.
Yeah, mind you, my investor again, with someone who builds rockets for NASA, who knows the moon missions are fake, who gave me $1 million. We exhaustively went through the archives of just the first mission. I didn't know. I believed that they were real. I thought it's possible that they faked it. So I was doing the film under the theory it might be true that they faked it. You just have to have an open mind and willing to be wrong. That's how you learn. That's what pride is, the unwillingness to be wrong. Well, I'm exhaustively going through the archives, and it's the same footage over and over and over again. From the first moon mission, at the most, there's only 15 pictures of an astronaut standing on the surface of the moon. It's amazing. And all the footage is like re-edited. So I'm going through trying to find the launch in real time, and you can't even get the launch in real time. They cut it from 2 minutes to 1 minute to 10 seconds. I pop in a tape. It says on the screen, do not show to the public. Well, I had a source at NASA during the Apollo program by the name of William Casing, who had extremely high security clearance, only second to Von Braun, the rocket designer. He told me he edited a memo from Von Braun to the Pentagon warning them that there was no way they were going to go to the moon by Kennedy's deadline, that they only had a 1 in 10,000 chance of doing it successfully without killing the crew. He believes a whistleblower at NASA gave me the tape. You pop in the tape. It's the only unedited footage aside from one of the reel that I have, meaning I hit fast forward and I see the same shot going on for 1 minute, 2 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes. It's a special effect shot. And it's dated by NASA's own computer timestamp 2 days into the flight where they're supposed to be halfway to the moon. So if you can imagine a TV screen that's mostly black with a little blue tennis ball sized Earth in the middle of it. Allegedly, according to their own testimony, in which they're lying to the television audience, the camera lens is butted up against the window of the spacecraft in order to shoot the far Earth away to demonstrate they're halfway to the moon. And then we uncovered, Richard, a third track of audio on the tape of the CIA prompting them to fake a 4-second radio delay because they never left Earth orbit. And what a surprise, 54 years later, they still cannot leave Earth orbit, except they're supposed to be halfway to the moon. About 2 seconds out, they estimated, and 2 seconds back for radio. So we have the CIA waiting for 4 seconds to go by and then telling talk to the astronauts to make sure they fake a 4-second radio delay. The lights come up, and you see that the crew of Apollo 11 has constructed a 1-foot model of the Earth that's backlit from a circular window, and the camera's really at the back of the spacecraft with all the lights off, and it looks very convincing. Had I not found the unedited reel, I would have assumed it was real. But we have them 100% proving they're faking being halfway to the moon. And as I mentioned in my book at Sabrell.com, even my greatest critic says, yes, that is the crew of Apollo 11 faking being halfway to the moon. Their excuse is they were just rehearsing. Well, this exact footage is in every NASA documentary claiming that it's real. So obviously it wasn't a rehearsal. And then secondly, every minute of the mission is $1 million. Every ounce of weight is $1 million. They're not going to bring extra models of the Earth to pretend to be halfway to the moon if the Earth is really far away out the window. If they wanted to rehearse, they would just rehearse with the real Earth out the window. So you see, even my greatest critic admits this is the crew faking part of the photography. It's what the NBC news director said proved it. And even 10 years after that, a new NBC news director overrode them, said, we are going to broadcast this nationwide. They flew me to the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in New York, gave me thousands of dollars for the exclusive license for this footage, which you can see for free at Sabrell.com. And a funny thing happened on the way to the moon. It's on the homepage. And they were going to break the story nationwide. NBC was going to do that. The producer told me they got a call from the federal government threatening to unplug them if they broadcast the footage. And that's just the way that it is. And I go into all these details that are not in the film in my book, Moon Man.
Where is that piece of footage now? Who has it?
Well, there are multiple copies of it. And as you know, and we have time to get into it. When I found this footage, I freaked out. I mean, I'm like, oh my gosh, they really did fake the moon landing. And that's the most fascinating thing about this, is that it's not a theory they didn't go. It's a fact. And as you know from reading the book, I originally turned down the project because there was a lot of evidence coming forward that seemed odd to me. And I thought, look, if they really did fake it and I start uncovering these rocks, that could be dangerous. I'm not going to risk my life for what Nixon did, right? 5 years go by, I realize, Richard, that the faking of the moon landing is more profound historically than if they had actually gone. I mean, look, either they planted a flag, came back, whoop-de-doo, even though they can't do it 54 years later, or they lied to the world, they embezzled money, they held ticker tape parades for them, they printed on coins and stamps, and they murdered Americans, including astronauts, to cover it up. If that's true, which it is, that's so much more profound historically than if they had actually gone. And I realized this is worth dying for. This is important because we can have a great awakening about everything else, but if people still believe this lie, we do not actually have an awakening. And you just have to imagine if the public found out for certain an astronaut fest or the government acknowledged it or who knows what, there would be dead silence. And people would go, wow, look how far we have fallen. And the thing is, a lot of people have the Stockholm syndrome, including Glenn Beck. They keep defending people who are murderers and abusing them and deceiving their money.
Yeah, I don't want to bring Glenn, but so just getting back, I just got about a minute here before the break, less than the actual original footage, that lost reel. Who is in possession of that?
Well, I don't want to say. I've made multiple copies of it that are extremely high quality copies, digital versions, analog versions, multiple format versions. And, you know, we did a very good transfer of it. And a funny thing happened on the way to the moon that took 7 years to produce. To edit that 45-minute film, I spent 4,000 hours. And you can just see it for free at Sabrell.com. And, you know, we have copies around the world. And as you know, I'm sure we'll get into, the day that I found it, I immediately made copies.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern. And go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the recent history of documentary filmmaking, one scene stands out above all. The hot mic bathroom confession of Robert Durst in The Jinx. Now the person responsible for that moment, Sareb Kaufman, stepson of the victim, friend of the murderer, star of the documentary, for the first time ever, shares why he believes you're watching the furthest thing from the truth on this exclusive episode of Murder Homes. Listen to Murder Homes on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, starting May 6th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.